Florida's internet is exploding, so TJ might get Skypey.
Okay.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 338 WTF at TFW's here, and I might be a bit loud there. I fixed it. And we're going to talk a little bit of Transformers and a few other things. It's our first 2015 round with these two gentlemen. Aaron, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to 2015.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
The year really begins right now.
It does. No hoverboards yet. I'm disappointed.
Aaron, it's... You know what the rule. It's like a swear jar. Every time you make a Back to the Future 2 joke, it's 10 cents in the jar.
Yeah, okay.
That's the rule for 2015.
Only 10 cents? I got like $3 here. We can do this all night.
Oh,
except for I won't.
Great.
That was all I had.
And also here with us today is TJ Omega.
So I spent a couple hours fixing a whole bunch of connectivity issues, and at some point GarageBand selected most all of the work I had done on TJ's track and erased it. And I didn't notice until after I pushed Control S, and one of the bummers of GarageBand is when you push Control S, it wipes the undo queue. So I lost about 3 or 4 hours of work I put into fixing some massive Skype communication connectivity issues. And basically this whole thing is fucked. So I'm going to go through and clip show together what is coherent, and whatever, it happens.
We're here today to talk also about Transformers and about Christmas and New Year's and all kinds of things that have passed since the last time we talked even team style. Just to kick it off, to get a little bit of slow burn stuff here to warm us up. A lot of people have been wondering, what's Takara Tomy going to do with Combiner Wars? They're going to do Combiner Wars. Yuki-san tweeted an image for Unite 2015. And it's a silhouette of Superion with a Combiner Warrior in kanji superimposed over his body. The big thing about this picture is a lot of people are glaring at it and have deduced that Alpha Bravo is not in that silhouette. Now, my first reaction to that is, what are you guys talking about? You can't even see half the stuff in that picture. But if you read the discussion thread, a lot of due diligence was done, and it seems that there are jet fins on everybody in there. So
yeah, I see a nose cone. I see wings.
Yeah,
old news now.
So I want to move on to some new picture picks. Aaron, let's open up with you and whatever it is you want to talk about.
Something that was kind of obvious that I didn't think it would be this first, but G2 Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Photos came out. I thought that they'd go Goldbug instead of G2 Bumblebee, but not that there's a ton of difference, maybe, but...
And there's a precedent set for G2 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, they did already do the G2 sideswipe, so if they got the G2 to do, they're gonna do it, it seems. I've already seen people on Twitter selling just their Bumblebee so they can get the G2 and the jetpack that is his pack in rather than an exosuit dude.
So the thing is, the normal Bumblebee looks better with the other masterpieces though. he's got the right yellow, and this one's like, I saw some people calling this one chrome, and I'm like, but that's not chrome. It's metallic paint.
No.
That's not bad. Yeah, but like, this is no replacement for the yellow one. This isn't.
Yeah. There's a stand beside.
Yeah.
Or start your G2 masterpiece shelf.
And like, there's cool details, and like, they're giving you battle face, which is nice, and they've got the G2 symbol on the flip around, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That was the part that wowed me the best, I think, was the G2 symbol on the flip rather than just an Autobot.
Yeah.
Just the standard G1 one.
Like, I almost just threw the 30 some at AE to pre-order this, and I was like, oh wait, that's right, I'm not spending as much money this year. So I held off for now, but the jetpack's interesting, and I don't think there's anything in there actually saying Lambor can use it, but I saw a lot of people talking as though they just assume Lambor can use it.
Right. I would hope so.
Me too.
Because doesn't he, I don't have Bumblebee, and I am the worst for it, but doesn't his backpack have a place that something can go?
It does.
Already, wasn't it like the spare tire can go there?
Yeah, spare tire and license plate can both peg in onto his back, so there's already a spot for this to go as well.
So what does that peg look like in comparison to, wasn't there a peg on Lambor's back?
He has that weapon storage spring-loaded hatch on his roof, and I think that ends up on his back. I don't have him near me right now. But I'd assume...
I don't have... Mine's upstairs as well, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's where it would go. It's going to go anywhere.
That'd be a nice... If that's a universal size or close enough, or maybe there's... Maybe you've got some sort of little piece on a rocker that has two different sized pegs on it, so that one way it's for Bumblebee and the other way it's for Lambor. But
well, I mean, it is designed by the kind of dudes who would do that. There's a lot of careful and fan oriented stuff going on with Hasui and his project. So yeah, it's a cool idea. I was just a little bummed out because I was like, man, I'm just hoping they were going to follow the exhaust example and just do friggin' Bug Bite next to make up more Masterpiece Decepticons.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the next one down the line with another sequential number.
I hope so. It could just come with like the exosuit, but a Dr. Archiville head to put into it to maintain our Archiville content in Masterpiece.
And then something about RID, and he's going to start talking like some idiot podcast politician. Here you go.
I don't want to talk about it. I should say, I meant to say this last week, but it didn't even come up when I was talking to Seth. There's a lot of China. You can pay to watch the first season of this show in China, I believe, right now. And there are 5-minute previews up for every episode, which are all over YouTube. I've decided not to cover those because the show is going to come out and we're going to talk about it then anyway. So why blow a bunch of that talk now? Because there is something about Drift that I was thinking, but there's no real point bringing it up yet.
I think this next thing gets mentioned somewhere and somewhere else in the episode. It's like, we're going to talk about it more than once. Why are you bringing it up on the first test shot reveal, you Nimrod?
My own new picture pick is nowhere near as child friendly. It's just some straight up hardcore pornography.
Your sardonic wit is so funny.
Well, it's pornography to me. Let's make sure this link works. I don't want to paste a porn link in here for real. That's my private stash. No, it's this. Bad Cube, the guys who did Huff and then changed their identity and got a new factory and did Brawny and Backland, have revealed a test shot of the next toy they're doing called War Dog. This is their take on... what's his name?
Warpath.
I was thinking of dog names. Like, my brain went in the wrong direction.
It's like it's almost in the name.
I was like, what dog is he again? Hot Dog? Imagine if that guy's name was Hot Dog back in the 80s.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Anyway, this is the first shot of a test shot. I think it's their first test shot of this figure. They are going for a Masterpiece-ish aesthetic, although Brawny and Backland arguably are sort of between Masterpiece and Classics. And I think it looks pretty cool. Like, the argument can be made there's already a really good Deluxe Warpath, and I agree. There is a really good Deluxe Warpath. This is going for a different look. Deluxe Warpath is going for something a bit more cartoon animation and a bit more like he's just turning into a robot, sort of a burly robot. This thing is turning into a tank that stood up, is the impression I'm getting. A lot more bulky and a lot more visible tread. I think it looks pretty cool. Then again, I also like the design work that these guys do. And going off of what Gerodimus has told me, given that he has one that works, Huff was similarly interesting to handle. So I'm going to be keeping my eyes on this and mostly trying to figure out if those treads are rubber or not. Like, clearly they don't work, but there are some treads scrunched up in his feet, and I'm not sure if those are rubber scrunched or just folded plastic like accordion style. But... The aesthetic looks cool. I like the burliness. I don't know. Aaron, how do you feel about War Hot Dog Path?
I think War Hot Dog Path looks pretty good. The head is pretty bang on from what I think of as Warpath's head. He looks like he's hitting all the right notes. I do like that it looks like his treads fold up on the back of his arms. As I cycled through the photos, the first few were all robot, and I was afraid seeing that he was just going to be some H-tank looking thing. But seeing he has a full tread rack around his wheels quickly dissuaded me of that. And I can't tell if those are actually linked and hanging well or not.
I think
it
that
may
they're
be a little bit of both too.
I think they're locked in that position regardless of how they're built. Like that's yeah. that's my assumption.
Yeah, I'm looking at the backs of his feet, and it looks like he just has tread parts hanging out there, so they're probably not treaded. It just looks they did a really good job of sculpting kind of the little bit of hang between the rollers on the top that made me think it might have been something actually linked. But looking at the way that the back of his feet are, I doubt they are. But
They might be, but then the parts count will
that's
be
a good
insane.
Touch. For, yeah. Well, I mean, you could do like a thin rubber line with a bunch of the exact same plastic piece. But no, looking at the side of it with that little bit of hang that goes in between them, I got to say that's a nice eye for detail type thing where a lot of places, including Hasbro stuff, just goes like, trends go across the top when they don't really.
Anyway, let's do a listener question.
We got a listener question here from Chris Supranon, who says, hello again. This is some more questions for the podcast. Number one, have you ever had the opportunity to help someone choose a toy for their kid? It has happened to me twice where a complete stranger asked me to help pick. The last time I recommended Dinobot Scorn, and the first time I recommended that one ROTF Optimus Prime Voyager that had the same transformation as the leader but was even more annoying. I'm a bad person. Aaron, I sort of picked this question because I remember you tweeting about something like this the other month.
Yeah, I did it like a week or two before Christmas. Was at it happened two or three times actually. Toys R Us, there was somebody that was looking for a specific, like one of the one step Bumblebee that her son wanted, the big one, not the little one, and she didn't see it at Toys R Us. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's at like Walmart or Target. I haven't seen him here. And she's like, oh, okay. Do you work here? I was like, no.
Yes, pay me.
And,
hold your hand out.
It's one of those things that, depending on, I mean, the situation, if I see somebody that looks very confused at the toy aisle, I'll be like, hey, you looking for something in particular? What's going on? Sometimes you'll get people that are very helpful or very happy for it because they don't know the fandom or they don't know. They know that their nephew wants the red robot car maybe with the one in the show that he always talks about. And because we're fans and we know our thing, you can be like, oh no, you're looking for this toy or maybe on the outside, this one.
And you know, in 1986,
a whole lot more.
There was also a red car called Hot Rod, who then went on to become a Matrix bearer and changed his name to Rodimus Prime.
And then also, a lot of times, you can be better than the person that works there because they just know this SKU goes here, that SKU goes there. They might be interested in Transformer toys, or they might be interested in the Friends Lego. And, you know, the fact that they work for the toy department or in the toy department doesn't necessarily mean that they like toys or are entirely aware of them other than a product that needs to go on the shelf.
Yeah. So Aaron clearly is a career toy aisle helper.
Yeah, I'll help out if I see. I mean,
but do you do the thing, hold your hand out like, you know, the guy who carries your luggage up to the hotel room and he's like, yes. So, his palm open, like,
No, but I should.
Yeah, and you know, slap a fiver in your palm, and you can go buy a minifigure.
Yeah.
Here comes the most important part of the podcast.
I was going to ask you guys, because you both have said you've seen someone who looked lost and confused in the toy aisle. What if they turned around to you, and then like they actually had like blood on the side of their face that you couldn't see, and they looked at you with bleary eyes and said, "What year is it?" Like, what would you do?
I would tell them what year it was, and then ask if they needed medical help.
You're an extra in a movie that's part of the body count, Aaron.
No, I wouldn't be up close.
From across the aisle, you're just calling out.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey!
It's 2015! There are 2015. Still no hoverboards!
You good? 10 cents.
I have the jar here, it's fine, I can deal with it myself. There's another question here from Chris Supernova. Oh yeah, I don't think I've really ever helped anyone out in the toy aisle, because no one's ever asked me to help them. I guess I just look like I'm a weird freako crazy person who wants to steal their children. But yeah, I've never had someone say like, "Hey, can you help me find this thing?" At least not that I remember.
Yeah, if generally if they're rolling with like a kid, I'm not gonna help out.
You have a very fine looking child. Can I help you find toys for him or her?
Not identifying the gender of the child that's in front of me. Yes.
Yep, and then you wipe a small trail of drool from the corner of your mouth. We got another question here from Chris Supranol, who says, have your toy habits helped you in real life in some way? In his case, it got him a girlfriend. Good old Sailor Moon figure arts. So, Aaron, have your toy habits become applicable in a positive way to real life situations?
How I met Alfie?
So you pulled the good old fashioned Sailor Moon figure arts trick.
Well, no, actually, it was Transformers. It wasn't figure arts.
Crossover Sailor Moon Transformers. I get it.
Whole lot of jazz.
Yeah.
A lot of them. But I've met a whole lot of friends. I've probably met the majority of my adult friends through Transformers. So that's a good thing.
I guess friendly acquaintances kind of is a positive thing in life, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I just live in an apartment. I don't go out anymore. So, you know, I eat rats and stuff and I feel better for it, but to each his own.
Now he's going to try to make jokes about the Skype problems. It's real funny from this end, you stupid piece of...
Yeah, because they just don't care. That's the impression I've gotten from everyone who actually is under Comcast. They will screw up everything, but you know, you want to say that they suck? They're like, whatever. Tell us we suck. Oh, well, I tripped over your internet again. Sorry.
Oh, guess what? You didn't return more hardware you were never given.
Yeah, where's our router? Where's our router? What router? I have a satellite. Where's our router? Just knocking at random doors. In my own case, aside from, I kind of hate saying aside from friendships because it sounds like I'm kind of hand waving them a little bit, but aside from quote unquote personal connections, getting into toy collecting led to wanting to make media related to my hobby, which has led to, feeling, like, and acquiring the accreditation to pursue something that I actually like doing, which I didn't know what I liked doing. I didn't know if there was a thing I liked doing until about 6 or 7 years ago. So it was a bridge, definitely, to fill in a gap in my hole and myself. So there's that end of it. And it's something that I really enjoy, both as a hobby and, I guess, as a hobby outside of collecting toys. I also have gotten into the hobby of watching the industry as a spectator, and enjoying a lot of parts of that, and the creation side of toys, the art side of toys, I guess spectating the nature of toy collecting as a thing to spectate, as opposed to just full-on participating in it without thinking about the thing around me. So, it's basically helped me become a complete and utter gormless nerd, toy collecting has. Anyway, Chris Supernong goes on to say, thanks for taking the time to read all that. And by the way, congratulations on saying every pronunciation of my name last time. All you missed was Super Snot. Fifth grade sucked. It did. Whoever called you Super Snot.
That's a good one.
I don't. That's filling in a bunch of words that aren't there. Whoever said that was probably a jerk, and they probably have, I don't know, something from Idiocracy. We also have a listener question here from Facebook. This came in recently, actually, but it was very pertinent, Aaron, to you, because I didn't know how to answer part of this, and I figured you would. So this came in from Justin Campbell over on Facebook. His first question was about Lego, Aaron. And mm-hmm. I didn't know how to answer this because I wasn't really sure. He's trying to track down the Riddler Chase and the Arctic Batman versus Mr. Freeze. Basically, a couple of sets from last year. And he's having trouble finding them in stores, and he's wondering, with Lego, does that mean that they're just gone, or will they be restocked? He's not sure how they distribute their products. So I guess the question is, like, what's the shelf life of a Lego product? How long is it until it's discontinued?
Mainline product gets about a year total. Some of the specialty stuff will hang around longer. I'm sitting here kicking around... they're both available on Amazon for what appears to be stock retail price. And that is, I think, not the most recent wave of the DC stuff, but the previous wave of DC stuff. So there's a chance it might still be at your local stores.
If it's not, then it sounds like it should still be on.
If it's not, it may still be in the cycle. I'm hitting up the actual Lego shop right now.
Yeah, because shop.lego is usually the good place. If you can't find it locally, shop.lego, usually for like mainstream stuff like the comic Lego, they should have like a healthy stock of most of it.
Yeah,
if it's still in circulation.
Yes, they generally will. When stuff first drops, shop.lego will sometimes get Surge sold out of it. And then also, like, the Ideas stuff now is harder and harder to keep on stock. And then you end up not getting things that you really wanted, and that's kind of depressing. Yeah, they have the Riddler Chase here, and I'm not seeing the Mr. Freeze.
Well, if it isn't there... Page. I do know I can fill this in. If something's out of circulation, another place to check is Bricklink. Especially if
yes,
you just
Bricklink,
wanted...
you can find stuff. Yeah, they're showing up as sold out, which probably means that they had a sale price on it. Yeah, they had a sale on it. So it's something that they may be waiting for a restock themselves.
Mm.
Generally, if it's no longer something that they sell, they completely remove it from the store.
Yeah.
So... It's still probably decent odds of finding it out there. You might have to hit up a store or two. Was this question relatively recent? Oh, heck, this question was from yesterday. Our time frame. So it may well still be something that's just store post-Christmas fatigue. Because I know that all three of the Walmarts here in town just massively contracted their Lego as the holidays went on, from like the beginning of December until now. It went from being a whole aisle to half an aisle to half an aisle with Mega Bloks and some Nerf in there.
Oh God, it's merged with Nerf.
So, yeah, that's a bummer. It was just like they got probably the one that I'm thinking of got like 40 Magnuses. The big Mega Dart Nerf 3-shot pistol thing. And it was just all of those just jammed in there. Just the whole, well, it's a toy, get it out on the shelves where people can buy it. But for those specifically, depending on where Mr. Campbell lives, it may be something worth trying to hit up a Lego store if you have a Lego store local to you. And they'd very specifically know... stocking and if something was getting phased out or if it's just a matter of having sold out over the holidays. And
yeah,
if it's something that's phased out, then I mean, it looked like Amazon was still basically retail price. There are plenty of ways that you can still get it. You just got to run a little bit more.
So that's a listener question I got where I basically went like, I'm going to talk to Aaron tomorrow, so I'll just carry this through. Maybe it's also proof that we should just do a Lego podcast. I don't know.
We could talk like probably not every week or every other week, like maybe once a month.
Oh, man, the monthly
what's going
Brickcast
on in Lego. Yeah,
don't put ideas in my head. We'll talk later. There's also a Transformers question here, which is that this fellow was on TFW and looking at art for the Transformers Universe game and noticed that one of the characters was named Switchblade. And that, of course, reminded him of Mask, which got him thinking about a Transformers line of triple changers based on the Mask characters, where the two vehicle modes are based on one of the Mask vehicles, and the robot looks like the character that piloted that vehicle. I know this is a pipe dream, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. My thoughts on it are, probably won't happen anytime soon, but that's a frigging awesome idea, and I would love it if it did happen. Especially if, like, the robot modes were just based on the Mask characters wearing their masks. You don't have to worry about them looking like stupid, like, robot Luke Skywalker. They're wearing a crazy mask already that looks all inhuman and awesome, and that is a perfect idea for triple changers. That's fantastic. Someone should do that right now. I'm a little biased because I like Mask a lot, but Aaron, you seem to have some thoughts on it too.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking about the physical logistics of it, and that would be easy enough to have the combat mode or the changed mode of the Mask vehicle just be kind of stepwise in transformation. Because it's like all the panels of the vehicle kind of open up to do whatever, and then you just still have the skeleton inside that turns into a bipedal robot looking thing.
Yeah. Like Switchblade. Like,
come on. Customizers.
You're totally right. Like half of the mask vehicles kind of would just be half transformed into a robot anyway to do what they're doing. I hadn't even thought about that part.
Yeah. Like think about Rhino, how he extended. Yeah. What's always the first step in any Optimus Prime is the first thing you do is like crack them apart a little bit and extend them some.
Yeah, you're right. Like Switchblade is one of the ones that kind of is a bit different, but it's sort of a
But still, it's you've got a good core. Those wings pop out. Guess what? Those wings are a cape.
Oh!
Miles Mayhem wearing a cape. Come on, you know it's right.
I think he did in the show at some point, like, and his mask, which was awesome. But yeah,
because he had that like third world dictator military uniform.
Yeah, which is weird.
With all the stuff on the chest, like, just came up with new awards that there's only been one of that he gave himself.
He wasn't even part of a PMC. He was just a mean dude who committed crime. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Man, this got me going down a mask Google rabbit hole, and I'm like, I had that toy, and I had that toy, and I'm so sad that I don't have these toys anymore.
This idea is too good. This idea is too good. I'm sorry, Justin Campbell. This idea is too good. We're gonna have to black bag you and put you in the back room. Like, free thinkers like you are part of the problem.
There's a large rotund man in a Miles Mayhem cosplay outfit, and it works so well.
That's because Miles Mayhem was a rotund man who committed crime.
Yes,
and had a sick mustache. Yes,
and it's a great case. It's a great case of a dude cosplaying and knowing what he should be doing.
Man, Mask was great.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't actually want to go back and watch the TV show because I'd probably be depressed at how bad it actually was.
A TV show could at times be legitimate garbage, like many TV shows of the 80s. You have to take it in a half-hour dose at a time like you did back in the 80s. Anyway, thanks for your question, by the way, and that wonderful suggestion. We're going to take a little intermission break, then we're going to come back, and we're going to friggin' talk some Combiner Wars again. And we're going to see what these two think about it. Right after this.
Mask, where illusion is the ultimate weapon.
Convert Switchblade to jet mode. Surprise, Matt Tracker. It's Mayhem! Battle station, protect the decoder, Bruce. I'm going up. Stacks, ready to fire.
Mask, Switchblade, Thunderhawk, and Rhino.
Fire!
Each sold separately with action figure.
Cover me, Matt. 10-4. Sato's getting away! But you're not, Mayhem.
Mask, Switchblade, Thunderhawk, and Rhino. Each sold separately. New from Kenner.
We're back. We were just talking a bit of Spider-Verse off the mic. Aaron's been reading it. I've just been reading excerpts of it here and there.
You should be reading it, man.
We all know the thing that everyone wants to tell me about, which is that Leo Pardon something something. I'll just summarize. I really liked the first panel, and I really hated the second panel. But I'm okay with it.
The second panel happened like a boss. I mean...
Yeah. I mean...
It did what it needed to do.
If it was the third or fourth panel, I'd be more cool with it if there were like a second or third panel of him actually doing at least one cool thing to that guy. But whatever. It's more than I was expecting. I thought they were just going to bring him in and then murder him for being one of the silly Spider-Men. But clearly someone in there has proper deference to a good Spider-Man like Supida-Man.
You got slightly squintier spider eyes. Squish.
God, that's horrible. You know what? I bet you that bumped around some office somewhere at least once. Hey, let's talk about some what we got this week. What did we get? Thinly veiled racist? No. We got some Combiner Wars.
No, that's just for Facebook.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Listen, I got the statistics to back this up.
If you know, you know. If you don't, we'll leave it there.
Hey, let's talk about some Combiner Wars that we got this week. We got other stuff, too, probably. I'm assuming, maybe, one or two things. I got my gigantic action Scorponok back when I went out for the holidays. I lent it to Hard Return, Ian Reed, Beard Ian, because he is a very good toy photographer with a very good setup. And I was like, hey, someone should take really good pictures of this. So he took some really good pictures of it. You should go check him out. And I went and picked it up and I said, hey, do you think you want to get one? He's like, I love this toy. And nope, because it's too big. And that's a great way to describe gigantic action Scorponok. It is too big and it's pretty cool. But you guys got your Combiner Wars stuff, so I'm thinking maybe we should just delve in there. Aaron, you don't have Comcast riding your ass like an angry beaver with a chainsaw, so...
Not often, no.
Maybe give you the point on the opening of this, and just ride out from there. I've already talked a whole lot about them, so I don't really feel like I should be leading in. Well, you know what? No. Let's lay it out. Let's talk about the limbs
first. I'll let you drive. Pick a limb. Pick a limb, because that's what I have. I don't have the torsos. I only have the limbs.
Oh! Okay.
So, yeah, these were store gets. This was all Target. So I've not seen the bodies yet.
So this is gonna stretch out to three podcasts worth of Combiner Wars talk. Okay. let's talk about the odd man out. Let's go Dragstrip. The Stunticon.
Okay. Dragstrip. I was very, very, very surprised. Dragstrip and Alpha Bravo both really surprised me out of this, and I think that Dragstrip may be perfect, maybe might not be the right word, but he is a very excellent Transformers toy in and of his own, even before you add in that he's an arm and or leg.
He's a rounded package. So I know what you mean. Like, it's easy to want to say he's the perfect Transformer, but
he is a solid 9.5 on all the checkboxes. Very poseable robot. Great car mode that holds together. You look at the car mode and it looks like it's a Formula One car. Not a Formula One car that's also a robot toy or something. And it feels, I mean, the plastic on him feels great and right. And it just all works so well that this is a good toy in and of itself. And then it's a robot toy as well. And then it's right now an arm. And with like three motions, it becomes a leg. This is a good toy to buy.
Yeah, he makes me really excited for the other three Stunticons as just a team of standalone robots.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the torsos later on, but whatever happens with Menasor, those limb robots are going to be real fun, I think.
Yeah. I do too. I like the way, I'll just go ahead and talk the hand foot things. Since they're all pretty much the same thing, just different fingertips.
Yeah.
Or toes, I guess.
Knuckle things.
Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, me too. The number of moving parts in there and the fact that there's like a clicky joint and like some thud to how that the joints work.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like a chintzy little like three-piece thing to accomplish a task.
Mm-hmm. I definitely like just the, again, this, it's something that seems like it got multiple passes of like, how do we make this better? Okay.
The thumb is how
this
they
idea
did it.
Worked. Yeah. Well, no, but I'm just saying it's not, you know, like the old combiner, you know, distal appendage parts, you know, the old combiner feet and hands that were just not good things.
Yeah.
And the way that some other combiners have done it, you know, the Energon weapons that, as I sit here and look at my the club dude that is totally missing because the weird thing that went between the robot feet for a hand is up and disappeared again. That'll be fun to look for at some point. But you know, you end up with these weird weapon things that aren't really weapon things, and it kind of makes a weird hand or foot thing, maybe. I'm not sure. Versus this is like this. That is a hand. Those are fingers and thumb. But one, two, three motions, and it's a great big platform for a foot that even with the heel bit, you can probably help prop in some pretty extreme poses.
I have tried that. It helps a lot, those thumb joints. They don't replace an ankle tilt, but man, they fill in like 50% of what you're missing out on from there not being an ankle tilt.
By the way, something that's pretty much cut out of here because I think it's just waste of time at this point. We were talking about the Razzies and Age of Extinction. Summary, Age of Extinction is a film that deserves to be nominated for the Razzies. The Razzies are a bunch of joke awards that literally mean nothing. So calm down and stop bringing them up on podcasts. It's just a bunch of empty comedy. Before all this went down, you even cut out half of it because it was just a bunch of fall-flatting naming of movies that was a waste of everyone's time. Anyway, they're going to talk about some more Combiner Wars.
Let's move on to a jet. Let's talk about Alpha Bravo. Aaron, you said that he's your other favorite out of
yes.
this wave.
I think it may also be because I had low expectations because he wasn't a jet. Oh my gosh. You guys in the last episode had the same kind of thought that I had for him. Not that he was going to be a Vortex, but a Blastoff.
Yeah, it wasn't until Seth pointed out all that stuff about his feet, and I was like, you're right.
Yeah, with the way that his cockpit is and the way that the tail stays kind of compact, I saw him right off the bat and was like, oh, that's a better prospect for Blastoff. Because, yeah, you just swap his arms and biggity-bam, you've got a space shuttle-looking thing.
Next!
I'd like to talk about my personal favorite now, which is Firefly. Let's talk about one of the jets. This is by no means me talking down on the other two. I just really like how Firefly turned out. He's like a complete package to me of a core concept of these guys. But it's like, yeah. it's even more so than some classics toys have done. He is just, look, it's what you remember of the G1 toy and a better toy. Boom. And he's got that, like, I'm just transforming to look at it. He's got that amazing, it's not the same head sculpt, but it's really similar to that amazing head sculpt they did for him in the Fall of Cybertron 2012 toys. Like, just, it's like the box, but there's a fin to it, and it's this angry faceplate.
And then they talked about hip joints and elbow joints and looseness and tightness for, like, 10 hours. So, continuing on from there.
But let's talk about Skydive, who I thought was the coolest looking one going in. He's actually my least favorite of the four for a couple little reasons, but Aaron, how'd your Skydive turn out? What's your thoughts on this guy?
So the gray black one now. Okay.
Yeah.
yeah. So after the others, especially his right elbow is super loose. His left elbow has like one or two little detents kind of. But not enough. I mean, there's no resistance against me pushing it.
I had the
at all. I can feel where it's trying to.
Yeah.
But
I had the exact same problem, except it was opposite. Like switch left and right, and that's what mine was like.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there and I got some floor polish in with toothpick and a little bit of care, and it's helped a bunch. But his elbows are still like the ratchets don't work. And before I did the floor polish, one of his elbows actually couldn't even hold either of his guns up, which was really embarrassing.
Yeah, he'll hold up the rifle or the split rifle.
Yeah,
but definitely not the big foot thing as gun.
Yeah, and that was kind of a sobering moment of like, all right, these aren't all perfect. This is still gonna happen now and then. At least it's
At least it's been, like, one for four of that, not the other way. It's not like you got one, you're like, holy crap, this is great, the rest are, eh.
And at least all like the joint designs on these guys are also, like, the way that they are, the friction they are based on is delightful because it's also so tweakable.
Yeah.
Once you get used to doing that kind of stuff.
Summarize, please.
The limbs are kind of the extent of your experience with the main gimmick here. And it sounds like it put the flavor for a torso in your mouth, as it probably should, but...
Oh, for sure. That's, this weekend I am doing a bit of a, extended toy run thing with, Gerodimus, and we're gonna see what we can find.
Yeah. Like, going just off the limbs, as standalone toys, like, how do you feel? Do you, like, are you feeling there's any... anything being lost for the Combiner gimmick, or do you think that they're really
not in the four that I have so far?
All right,
they all seem well. Like I said, especially with the Stunicon snuck into the mix, they're all great toys that also happen to turn into an arm or a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I mean, just Another little design thing I noticed as I was cleaning everything up, the way that all of the instructions get folded up so that it has the flap for like one of five.
I freaking love the paperwork.
Sitting there. It was like, that was something that it was completely unnecessary, but is a great way to just be like, no, this is intended to be semi-archival. And here it is. So there you go. We folded it a kind of weird way, and ta-da. Look, it works.
And actually, the Voyager instructions, and if you fold them differently than how they come out of the package, the Legends instructions all have that same uniform look, or at least can have that uniform look.
Okay, and I didn't try it with the Legends I got.
The Legends, you have to kind of switch up how they're folded together, but it doesn't, like, crinkle the paper any differently. And it just looks so much nicer. Even the CAD models in the instructions look a bit nicer. The presentation feels really good. I think that's about it for the limbs, really.
Torsos!
I hope that whatever the third and fourth, if there are that many, molds are, I hope that they're more like Silverbolt, less like Optimus and Motormaster. That's really my only worry. My one and only worry is that Silverbolt is the standout and Motormaster is the standard. But in a perfect world, we'll find out one way or another, at least a hint of it, at Toy Fair in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's coming up.
God, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. That's someone from Mezco I was emailing said, are you going to be at Toy Fair? And I was like, sadly, no, probably not. And then I was like, man, that is like really close.
No, why would I be planning that far in the... Oh.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's far... Oh, that's like in less than a month. Damn. And I really would like to go, but like especially January 2015, I don't have the resources to go to New York for a weekend or like 4 days or whatever. It's just not in the cards for me. I haven't got the spare travel cash. I don't know if I have the time. It bums me out, because it's like, I think now the second or third year that I've almost thought about going, but it just isn't working.
Yeah.
So maybe 2016. Well, let's bring it back around to something Aaron can participate in, if I understood him correctly. Mm-hmm. Aaron, did you get some Legends?
Yes, I got Power Glide, and then it's not Cliff Jumper, it's...
Nope.
Wind Charger, thank you. I really, really enjoy Power Glide, just like missile spam forearms for when he turns into a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it does further my own personal brain canon of like, hey guys, look what I did. Hey guys, I'm one of you now, right?
I put missiles in my arms. I'm like Alpha Bravo.
He's cool. He's one of the guys now, right?
Away we go,
we're
right?
Cool.
Away we go.
Yeah. Guys, okay, I'll stay over here.
I'm so short.
My biggest issue with him is, and it's something that kind of happens when you get into this size. He relies a lot on tabs that don't always line up well.
So
because
you're
smaller.
How are the legs on yours?
Not horrible.
Okay,
they're good. The biggest issue I have, and it's just a matter of again needing to tighten things up, but the tail,
yeah,
pieces are super loose to the point of like just the, what would that be on his right leg, anytime I do anything that hits it, it just kind of pops off and I got to put it back on.
Oh, it falls straight off. It falls off.
Yeah.
That sucks.
There's barely any tension holding it in place.
Damn. Yeah, like, I have a slightly loose couple of them, but that's far worse than mine. That sucks.
Yeah. And I think both his hips and his knees could maybe be, well, for his left leg, for his right leg, it's a little bit stiffer, but I think both of those could use some love on them toughen them up.
But how's the tab connection between his legs? Because that seems to be a big variance for a lot of people.
That's a point where it just seems like everything doesn't always want to quite line up. They'll tab together well, but when you point his feet down, they'll try and work themselves back out. And if I kind of angle the tail up a little bit from where I think it should be, it lines up a little bit better.
Weird.
It's one of those things that requires some fidget, and it looks like his airframe is warped if I have it all lined up well, where it's just like the one piece that's out of alignment, that just doesn't want to do its thing.
I feel like I really lucked out on mine. Like his whole tail section comes together super fast.
Yeah, no, mine's not the best.
Damn. Yeah, I'm just retesting mine. It seems to be fine. Like mine, it's not like it's rock solid. Like if I bang it a bunch, it'll start untabbing itself.
But yeah, no, mine, there are parts that will be rock solid, but then it'll, like, you know, if I hold it, like right now, holding it looking down the plane, like I'm looking at the nose of it, he's got a little bit of, like, counterclockwise spin on it, and then when I adjust it back to try and true it up, it just doesn't want to all line up well, that if that's making sense.
I kind of get it, yeah. It seems like just as a toy, like I've heard enough varying reports that there's definitely no 100% build quality on him.
Right. Plus, it's into like the legend size and price, and
yeah, that's,
I think that, and maybe understandably so, there's not as much of an effort for tolerances. Yeah, so
he's definitely not like something that has to be a load-bearing limb as well. His function in Superion is someone holds him up. So, still, that's a shame. Well, I mean, Aaron, the exciting one, Windcharger.
Windcharger. It sure is a dude with magnet arms.
Yep. Did you ever get Tailgate? I forgot.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
He's still sealed, so I never really talked about him.
Oh,
I got him as I can talk about this on the show, and then I had a couple weeks of like big other stuff, so it was he's kind of become that. Oh, I don't really have anything to talk about. Oh, I'll open this up and see how it is. And since then, he's just kind of lived in a box, sadly.
So this is your first experience with the mold, then?
Yeah.
All right. Well, how do you feel about it?
I like it. The feet or the legs sideways threw me for quite a bit. I kept like, oh, it doesn't line up this way and it doesn't line up this way. What the heck? Thinking it could be like toes forward or toes down or toes up, not toes to the side. And then once I did that, I was like, oh, that dummy. The only other thing is the big hollow spot up above his head as he's a car, to me, is kind of odd. Like, they left a huge, huge, huge head box for no head.
Yeah. And I don't think Tailgate's head was much bigger.
No. It's almost big enough that it's like they had left space for something to go in there, like for an accessory to go in there.
Stick his gun up there?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's actually there's a lot of a lot more negative opinion on that toy than there is positive. So I was curious.
Really? I mean, at best, I could maybe see apathetic.
Yeah, I think a lot of the harsh negative stuff comes with the baggage of people wanting a really good Tailgate too.
Yeah.
Because I've always felt like it's a fine toy. It's just I wish it was a different character than either of the two it's been.
Yes, it's an entirely okay toy, I think.
Yeah. And you didn't Decepticon Legend up, right?
No, I did not.
So, between the two, which one's doing it for you more?
Power Glide.
Yeah, I figured. Power Glide's designed for that price point, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard last week, so I was musing that with Thundercracker, because he looked and felt so nice, I was like, maybe because he doesn't have a partner, but is still borderline the same price, maybe he has more paint apps. So XV, we were talking on Twitter the other night, he did the side-by-side comparison. They have identical paint apps. Numerically identical. The only additional paint app the Thundercracker has is that his chest piece has been dipped in silver. However, his guns are unpainted, and Starscream's guns had been dipped in silver, I believe, or not silver. They were maybe a silver. They were dipped in some paint. So numerically, it all adds up still. So just if you do pick up those legends right now, the best thing to do is not think about the value proposition, because on the ones that are redecos, you are literally paying the same for less, unfortunately.
Little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I was sitting there and I was like, yeah, this is one of those things, like, I can't even really get myself to be mad about it. I'm just more like, aw. I'm like, sad face about it. But, you know, most of those redecos don't do it for me anyway. Like, the only other one we got coming up is Huffer. And there's a whole lot working against that Huffer already. He's an orange Optimus Prime.
Well, that's what Huffer always was, right?
Yep, ever since G1. Orange Optimus Prime.
Modern Wars talk is over. They bought other stuff, though, because what else are they going to do with their money? Save it? Put it towards their homes? Put it into their futures? No, let's buy some plastic toys with it. That makes much more sense. Why don't you also record a podcast about it while you're at it?
I picked up R.I.D. Bumblebee.
Oh, I still haven't seen that one in person.
Yeah, he's... I don't know. I've not seen the levels of enthusiasm for him that others have exclaimed. He is a good Bumblebee toy, but he is not like some crazy second coming of Bumblebees, unless I'm missing something entirely.
The way I've seen it is a lot of people...
He has like...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The way I've seen it is a lot of people like Grimlock the most, but then yes, of the other three, a lot of people feel Bumblebee is categorically better than Steeljaw and Strongarm. Now, I haven't handled him yet. Now, I have handled Steeljaw and Strongarm. I thought Strongarm was fine overall. Would you say Bumblebee is levels above?
I would say Bumblebee is better than Strongarm.
Okay.
But not, like, levels above?
Just slightly cleaner?
I mean, it's a little bit cleaner, but not, like, they're not... a whole letter grade better?
Okay.
Maybe, I mean...
Like, handling Strongarm, I was sitting there trying to figure out, having seen pictures of that Bumblebee, I was like, what on earth is that Bumblebee doing that makes him so much better than this? Aside from not having the backpack.
Yeah. Not having the backpack is like, the difference. And, also have... and you've said the name a couple times, and it's blanked on me.
Steeljaw.
Decepticon. Steeljaw. Also got Steeljaw, and I really like... I think I like Steeljaw better than I like Bumblebee. But because of its... The animal robot mode play is pretty fun, and a robot mode that has a tail that's really a tail is pretty fun.
Well, I've only handled Strongarm and Steeljaw. I thought they were both fine. I like Strongarm a bit more than Steeljaw, mostly because I liked her standing posture more. But...
Okay.
Like, handling those two, I was like, how is a lot of the opinion I've read is, like, skip those two, buy Grimlock, and maybe pick up Bumblebee. And I was like, these two seem fine. Like, what kind of godly toy is this Grimlock?
Yeah. He's very good. Of the four, Grimlock definitely is the best of the four.
That makes me excited. Like, I want to pick him up.
Yeah. You know, it's not like any of them are an abysmal failure that to run away from. If it's all, I mean, it's all, a lot of it, I think, is aesthetic based. Do you like the aesthetic of X, Y, or Z? Because if you do, then you'll like it. And if you don't, it's definitely something where I think the look and how you feel about it has more to do to influence maybe than in other lines, because it's another kind of aesthetic heavy line.
Yeah.
If and that makes sense. Like, you know, the people that didn't like animated because it was animated.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some wonderful toys in animated, but I think that there are a lot of people out there that would never give them a second look because it was big, doofy, lanky, cartoony-looking toys.
Yeah.
And it's another line where they're very cartoony-looking toys. Ooh, that's something I don't like here as I'm sitting there messing with Steeljaw again. The way that the elbows work feel like I'm going to break it.
So I think reading about how the elbows work made me more okay with them, because I was really, really ready for it going in. Like, they aren't ideal, But if you know how they work, it's
there it goes. It was I was trying to bend the elbow and it wasn't. Oh, there now it's doing it again. It's not wanting to bend at the elbow. I feel like I'm going to break the.
You've got to extend it all the way, and then like
I've pulled a little bit more than I feel comfortable pulling.
Well, you got to extend it, but then you also have to like bend it in a way that's working with the slight detent in it.
Yeah.
It's very tactile and definitely not a high point.
There it goes. It's like you have to kind of back bend it just a touch.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, I find him really interesting. And aside from, like, knowing that you've got to pose him like he's got digitigrade legs, like, that tail is a fantastic tripod.
Yeah. No, that's why, I was having issues with the digitigrade legs because I was trying to pose the tail, and I'm like, no, wait a second. Kind of pose it down, and bam, it's standing.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's easy mode. I went in and I tried to do some tail up poses, and I figured out a few. It's harder.
Okay.
But it's not impossible.
Yeah. Well, you kind of has to then to hunch forward maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, hunch him.
To move that point of balance forward. Which, I mean, if I was a wolf creature with backwards-facing legs, I'd probably be hunched forward a little bit, too.
It's a werewolf stance.
I mean, yeah, where's the life experience speaking here? Where are the wolf people in our fandom to... I don't know. I love his alt mode.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's a case of... I think that a lot of the people that are not really happy with it aren't people that can enjoy life. No.
Here we go.
Well, yes, but no. That aren't looking for kind of the show-to-toy experience as much as it should be always be a toy first and foremost and forever.
Yeah. I don't have any new R&D stuff to talk about myself. Because I've never seen any new stuff. But you're not going for any of the Cyberverse, are you?
I don't think so.
Okay. At least not until they make a Viacon.
Oh, God.
Right? Right?
God.
Because how would you be able to live it down if you didn't do it again?
Don't say such things.
I'm just musing. I'm musing.
I mean, you haven't heard about him doing a Viacon, have you?
Nah, not yet. What if it's like a bestial wolfman Viacon?
Oh, don't do that.
With a tail. I don't have anything new Transformers-wise myself other than picking up my Scorponok. TJ, you saying that the line is damaged over there, it seems?
Yeah, because it's affecting cable and our DVRs, too.
Damn!
Yeah, so whatever
Man,
it is...
When you mess it up good.
Well... Florida weather.
It might be for the best to hold off then until next week, just so we're not having to punch through all the busted line stuff.
Yeah, because I got a bunch of new stuff. I got the new RID deluxes, but it's not going to let me talk about them.
All right, let's...
Okay. This is going to suck for off topic, too, because Aaron, half of it's Lego. I kind of went nuts.
Well, we can probably do a quick soldiering just through, like, me and Aaron's off topic stuff. If you want, we could try covering one or two, but I'm okay holding off on some of it till the next recording, too.
Yeah, I might as well, because it's not going to let me talk at length.
Yeah, it'll just be more like stop and start. We don't know when anyone's talking stuff.
There's a little bit, because I did promise someone in the last episode's thread that this would make an appearance, so I might as well.
Yeah, I figure like we'll do it at the end, and then maybe just, you know, drop some thoughts on it, then worst case, if you don't hear any of us respond, just like put in the chat that you finished talking about it.
I'm done. End it.
Because the nature of what, dear listener, what I may or may not have been editing out heavily is TJ's talking. We can hear him fine. But then every now and then he starts talking and then it just turns into techno digital gibberish that pops in and out for a couple seconds and then sort of just stops. And then either pops back in after a few seconds, or he actually stopped talking, and we're all just sort of sitting here staring at each other on the internet. So, that's what we're dealing with here with, apparently in Florida, cable lines are currently on strike and exploding.
I'm going through bouts of, self-doubt because I make a comment and no one answers.
And we're just kind of sitting here going like, did he make a comment or did he cough?
Is he done? Is he still talking? Is everything lagged?
Was he talking to us or was he talking to himself? I can't tell. But let's do some quick off-topic stuff here. I'm going to go first because I got something I could talk about off-topic that I'm kind of excited about. And it's like it's also what's defining most of this year for me. I've decided like I am going to actively sit out on a whole lot more stuff than I usually would. Just suck it up and remember that anything that comes out will still be there just for more money. But I did a big dumb purchase. I canceled a whole bunch of other ones, but this one I just couldn't cancel because of who it was. So I got the new Soul of Chogokin release of Gao Gaigar, which is a show that is extremely near, dear, and close to my heart. And this is a very well done piece. It's not perfect, but it's the best that we've got. It is the best one that anyone has ever done. It is like a cosmic reckoning for all of us who bought the CM's Corp ones because there was literally nothing else out there to buy. And it does a lot of stuff super well. When I say it's not perfect, it's mostly because even if you try to keep just the parts for perfect transformation, you've got to remove the vent covers from Stealth Gao's forearm pieces because there's no way that stuff could fold up. There just isn't. There's nowhere for those vents to go. And you either have caps hanging off his forearms or something else. So there's that. And his fists that fit inside those forearms are okay, but there are these much better ones that don't. And me and Ben Jovi were on Twitter talking a little bit about how great it would be if there was some way to spring load those fists to compress up so they could fit in there. Unfortunately, there isn't. But all that said, like, it's a dead solid toy. It feels playable. I took it out of the box. I turned on a 15-minute loop of the Final Fusion music, and I just played, putting it together the first time, and I felt like the happiest little kid in the world. It's very well done. And if you're a Gao Gaigar fan, it should be your priority purchase this year. Let other things go. Let things go to the wayside. This is the Gao Gaigar you've been waiting for. I don't mean to overhype it, because maybe I am ruining this for some people, but it hits a lot of marks, and this and the Super Robot Chogokin Gao Gaigar are the only two toys of that character that I've ever felt like were actually just playable toys of Gao Gaigar that were not hampered by the design itself. Of course, barring the original Takara one. It's really well done. And there's a lot of little touches that are just genius. When you pull the bullet train through his chest, it hits a little button that then expands his midriff out so that it looks a bit more on model.
Nice.
And it also matches up with a part in the stock footage where the bullet train would go a little farther than it usually would and then pull back. In this case, it goes a bit farther, hits that button, and then pulls back. It's genius little things like that. The holsters for his forearms on the stealth bomber on his backpack actually fold away. The stealth bomber does panel work that I wasn't sure was actually possible on a production plastic toy, to both hide and then compress away the hiding spots for things. And I mean, leaving out that, like, all that stuff aside, you get this white lion robot that transforms into a white robot. And it does a very good job of all that. And then the topper, and I'm trying to find a good picture of this stuff. The non-transformation hands, the big hands that look way more anime accurate, are, I think, the most well-done posable robot hands I have ever seen in my entire life. They do tricks that I had never even considered before. And there's no good picture showing some of those tricks. I just want to find a good picture of the hands. Like, I got one on my Twitter of it doing a thumbs up. So I'll pull that up for you guys. But the way that this hand can... It pulls into an animation-perfect fist. But it can also open up into a fully open hand. And the way that it pulls off the fist, like, you know how posable hands, the one thing that they'll always have trouble doing is a fist, because you can't really compress a hand like your hand does when it goes into a fist?
Right.
Like make a fist right now, you and all the listeners, make a fist, look at what your hand's doing, right?
That squeeze.
Yeah. This toy can do the squeeze. Somehow. All right, here's a picture of him doing thumbs up. This should give you a look at the fist, at least, to some degree. And the way it does the squeeze, I only noticed this a few minutes ago, actually. I was just messing around with one of the hands while we were talking. There's a sliding panel on the palm. And I believe that that panel makes room for the fingertips to go in the palm when it slides forward, filling in the space of the curled fingers in the first place.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's magical. The only problems I have with the hand is that everything is frictioned together, either ball joints or friction hinges. So it is possible to pop some of that loose if you're pulling things the wrong way or just like friction doesn't like you. But this whole toy is built to pop apart rather than break apart. But it's built like a Solo Chogokin. It's Solo Chogokin materials and build quality, but with the safety protocols of like a modern Hasbro transformer. It's gorgeous. And yeah, that picture I tweeted, like you can see his thumb up there. All those knuckles move.
Okay.
It's a tour de force, those hands. Like, I don't usually say something like this, but all of you add-on makers and all the companies out there who fall under the third-party sub-forum category, look at these hands and learn lessons from them. I would love to see a pair of hands engineered like these, but done in white for Masterpiece Magnus, because I think it would be perfect. I'm really into these. Like, I have not seen better done hands ever. So I'm very impressed. And that's about it, I think. The only other thing to really pull out is that helmet actually is closed around a smaller robot head, and that robot's eyes are that helmeted head's eyes. And when you close that helmet up, the green gemstone on the forehead is pushed forward animation accurately in a way that I have never seen a Gaugagar toy like really pull off convincingly. It's very subtle, but it works. And there's a tiny little G symbol sculpted inside the translucent plastic.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Like, also, all the Gau Machine vehicles have cockpits sculpted on with a tinted translucent window over top. So it's not like you can see the cockpit all the time in a distracting way. It looks like a solid piece, but then if you hold it in the right, in the correct way and look at it, you can see a little control seat inside, like the bullet train, the drill tank, and the stealth bomber. The only things this thing is really missing, there's no effect part for Broken Magnum, like when he shoots his fist, which also feels like exactly the kind of thing they put into an add-on set. In the show, he eventually gets a different stealth bomber with big, like, space boosters. Again, feels like the perfect thing for an add-on set. So there's a lot of stuff about this toy where I hope to everything that they do some add-ons for this, because it's made for that stuff. I really hope they do a Goldeon hammer for this thing to hold, because that would complete the package super well. But they gave me an inch. I'm going to ask for a mile. CM's Corp tried to do Genesic Gaugagar. I have that toy. It is an admirable attempt, and when it is combined, it is the hottest self-destructive mess. They gave me an inch. I want a mile. Give me Solo Chogokin Genesic. Right the wrongs of CM's Corp. Take what they tried to do and do it right. You can do it, Bandai. Everything I see here, everything that you've done with this toy, you are paving the path to fix the crimes of CM's Corp and do a transforming Genesic that does not implode. Like, I don't know how a better way to describe it. That Genesic toy, when it's put into robot mode and you stand it on the table and you try to lift its arm, the weight of the toy and the engineering of all of its parts, all those moving pieces and hinges, literally implode in on themselves. And the toy collapses into its own torso as though a black hole just opened up. The time has come. The 20th anniversary of Gaugagar is in a year or two. Let's do this. Anyway, I'm really hyped about this toy. I think it turned out great.
Sounds like you're excited for it.
Toy of the year, 2015. I'm going to start writing the article tomorrow. I'll just make up whatever else happened this year. No one will notice. And that's about it for my off topic, I believe. I can't think of anything else. And you know what? I've talked so much. Oh, you know what? I got some 66 action guys. They're cool. They have bicep swivels now. And holy crap, did they ever need them. So 66 action, starting with series 4 of the Kamen Rider thing, starting with the weird movie theater guys, one of whom has a camcorder for a head. They're pretty good little toys now. That's all for me. Aaron, let's talk about your off-topic stuff.
The only thing I could really think of off the top of my head was I got a late coming Christmas gift from Kal-El of Krypton of a set of 7 polyhedral dice that are it's the Dragon's Dice.
I played Dragon Dice.
Well, now this is they're regular dice. They're not dragon dice, but they have dragon themed faces. So it's like a dragon chasing its tail for a one. Well, about all of them are chasing the tail on the 6-sided die. But they're neat. They're different dice that aren't just the normal numbered polyhedrals around it.
I guess dragon dice was really cool, though.
Yeah, it was. That was the D&D themed stuff, right?
It was like a D&D crossed with Warhammer, but your miniatures are instead dice.
Yeah.
And each die represented a member of your army. And it was kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. I had a bunch of those somewhere. It was like the different colorations was the different armies.
Yep. And then they did novels. And the novels had a circular carve through the entire novel that a die would be in to convince you to buy the book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like the book came with a dragon die, like one of the 10-sided, I think, dice that the dragons were.
Okay.
Might have been more sides. And if you bought the book was shrink-wrapped, and then they just bored a hole through the top corner of the novel and put a die in there.
Hope there are no words there.
Nope, they had to print the novel around a hole on every page.
I would assume that once you've done that gimmick, you've at least thought that far ahead for it. It
would be real funny if they hadn't. Well, that's cool. Also, nerd! You getting much use out of those dice?
No, not yet. My brother and all of that D&D group, we've not had the chance to get back into it for a while, and there was talk about jumping editions, and then also I had been saying for a while I'd really like to not be the DM for a while and be a player, and so there was talk about that that happening at the same time, like just so it was new campaign, new rules, new everything.
You want to be a real person? You're tired of being outside of the world?
Well, I would like some time where I don't have to have everything prepped and ready to go and do everything, where I can just be the host or something else like that, and not be host plus DM plus chief cat wrangler.
But that's
somebody
your role.
Have somebody else try and get everybody together for a weekend that works for everybody.
That's what people are used to, though. That's
yeah. Well, like I said, I could shed some of those responsibilities. I just don't want all of them.
Yeah. Now shed them all. Just give it up. Just go like, no, I'm done.
Maybe.
I'm just gonna freeload and drink all the Yoo-Hoo.
That might be my final outcome, but at least let them think that there's other options along the way.
They don't listen to this, do they?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You should just drink all the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then just flip the table over and leave.
My own house?
Yep. I don't need it anymore! I'm a free spirit!
You don't control me!
Oh, did you do anything else off topic?
No, I guess it is on topic. I got a Loyal Subjects Prowl. As well. That is definitely on topic.
I like how that just bumps to the off topic.
Yeah. It was underneath all of the other Combiter Limbs and RID stuff. Well, I guess I kind of spaced it. I picked him up more to be a desk thing before I was quite sure how much desk stuff we could have, and I was going to hold off until I had other more work-related semi-permanent stuff on my desk before bringing in more clutter.
Yeah,
I don't want to make it too obvious that I've got a whole bunch of crap.
The 5 modulars are already a bit much.
Yeah.
Which series is Prowl from? Is he from the posable ones?
He's series 2. He's the one that only really showed up at GameStops.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where I managed to pick him up. I was actually in there looking for the Turtles ones for Alfie. and was like, ooh, Prowl, I'll go ahead and snag that.
How's the build on him?
He's the same as all the other series two have been.
I mean, like, do the joints move all right?
Yeah, they move all right. I'm just really afraid that, so I had gotten Alfie a while back, the Shockwave one.
Mm-hmm.
And then his arm broke off, the clear hand part broke, as clear plastic is apt to do. I don't think Prowl's going to do the same thing, but I'm still just nervous because it's happened once already.
Well, if none of the joints are stuck, if none of the joints are stuck, then you're already much more in the clear. It's if you get one of those ball joints stuck, the shoulders especially are such a brittle plastic.
Yeah, the shoulders feel like it could be a problem.
That happened to my slag. His shoulder was stuck, and I was like, "Does this move?" And just twisted right off.
Yeah, it has very anxious movements. I'll put it like that.
All right.
Where it's not like, ah, this is obviously not a thing that moves, or this is a thing that moves. It's like, yeah, okay, that moves, yeah.
Well, that's you, that's me. All right, TJ, let us set our anchors down, and for the off-topic thing, you had at least one thing you wanted to talk about right here and now.
Well, I did kind of promise it at some point, so might as well.
Yeah.
So, XL Hedge missed the Amiibo talk. I did more Beemo, so here's Amiibo.
Oh, man. I would have so much to offer to this anyway.
Well, in particular, because the ones I got were the Villager, the Wii Fit Trainer, Captain Falcon, and Pit, all who are stupid rare.
I almost bought the Wii Fit Trainer on release day because I saw 500 of them, and I thought that was the funniest one.
Yeah, because it's a toy yoga instructor with no face.
Yeah.
You don't need a face for yoga.
It helps.
Nah.
Yes, but you don't need it.
I'm not trying to be facist here, but...
So, yeah. I mean, like, what, you get one with a face and you could sell it on eBay for $300-$400? I mean, is that how it converts?
Something like that.
All right.
So, yeah, these are all the ones that stores apparently got in three of before they canceled them.
So I heard that Nintendo hasn't actually discontinued any so much as stores are just assuming they have and have created even more of an insane market for them.
The only report we got were from stores that said, no, we ordered more and they got canceled.
Yeah, and really weird. I saw a Reddit thread where it's like they're not necessarily canceled, it's just they're not making any right now.
They compared it to the Disney Vault, which I found hilarious.
Yeah. Jesus, really?
Okay.
It's Skylanders. Well,
I think that comparison, yeah, I definitely think that Nintendo's not quite sure how to do this as
this is their first
as a toy thing.
Yeah,
we're putting it in the vault and we might maybe in 5 years we'll bring it out again.
This isn't the Disney vault. You're creating an artificial demand by holding off the less popular characters.
It's like the guy in charge of it is just some really mad dude from the Beanie Babies era who's just like, I'm going to screw them all. I'm going to take one big spike with Mario's face in the end and ram it up all their butts. I think that's happening.
Well, it's not like, look at the ones that get, air quote, canceled. They're the least popular ones. So they're going to be the first ones eliminated. It's just how fast they got eliminated.
Yeah, I guess man. The whole model of it seems broken, the information train seems broken, and 90% of it seems to just be, like, third-hand info from the retailers. And it's like, it's 2015, that's not how this works anymore. There are threads of communication that exist that everyone knows is there. But then again, it's Nintendo, and how long did it take them to like, accept that the internet should be part of gaming consoles? Like,
a few... Have they been convinced of that yet?
Well, it's in their machines now. There's a modem.
Yes, but...
Don't ask for more, man. It took long enough to get the modem in, all right?
Hey, it's me again. As you can tell, everything seems to be working now, but we're still going to fast forward a little bit because we're almost on the home stretch and I'm already doing this anyway. So why not?
So you have been buying from the hate purchaser.
No.
I'm TJ,
thrilled that he's losing so much money.
You must have seen this article.
Yeah.
What do you think about the idea of hating Nintendo so much that you're going to buy all of their product?
Oh my god. See, here's the thing. I am a wrestling fan, so I know many people who will buy the pay-per-views every month just so they can hate on it.
Oh, yeah.
I understand this mentality in ways most don't.
But do you understand that mentality on the level of, like, of how much money he's spent?
No.
Okay, that's I'm what just made looking me, it up.
That's what made me really happy about finding out a lot of these are getting reissued.
Well, yeah. So he spent $4,000 so far and is planning to spend $35,000 in the future, I believe is how this all works.
$35,000 or $3,500?
He said he had $35,000 squirreled away just to do this.
Yeah, he spent $4,000 so far.
To invest on the figure. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
No, not to invest, to buy all of the women so that no one else can get them. Seems to kind of be his M.O. Specifically, he hates Rosalina, so he's buying all the Rosalinas because they shouldn't make them. So
that doesn't teach anybody a lesson.
Well, his thought process appears to be, I'll buy them all, and then anyone who wants them will have to buy them from me at triple the price so that they aren't having fun buying them. Seems to be his... So, I mean, it goes without saying he's a blithering idiot. Like, let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But... Man, am I so happy to hear about someone who doesn't have several thousand dollars they used to have.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. He's spending nearly $40,000 total planned on garbage in a stupid way for idiotic reasons. At least he's not spending it to, like, build a bomb or, you know, constructively do something that could actually actively hurt people.
I want him to get like $30,000 into this and then wait for is all the rare ones.
I don't, he'll just, that's what his other 5,000 is for, man. He'll just buy all those ones. I don't know. I read the interview with him and he sounds like a real charming fella. He sounds like a real nice guy if you just get to know him.
Sure.
Also okay. Sounds kind of like a scumbag, but that's just me. You know, I'm not one to judge.
There are many words I use to describe him, none of which I can say on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just defer to scumbag. It's just amazing how his psyche unraveled out on a red carpet during that interview. Like, you could tell they sent him those questions and received all the answers at once. Like, when he went through all of his, like, nicknames for every single female amiibo... And then the next question was just, like, completely straight-faced, so what you gonna do with all of them? I was like, alright, there's no way that they wrote that question after getting that answer. Either that, or they got that answer, and then, like, took the day off, and all just went to the bar and talked about this insane person. And then came back to the office and sent the next one, I don't know. But, yeah. It's real interesting to see the kind of human beings that exist on planet Earth. I think that's pretty good for Amiibo talk for, you know, the rest of the year.
So like the other 8 I have pre-ordered, I can't talk about.
Well, I mean, you could. What else are we gonna say? You know what? Maybe Amiibo. There'll be more weird news out of the Amiibo market that we could tie to.
I'm sure.
So far we've had people are willing to pay 500 times value if the toy is broken or missing something sealed in the package. Now we've got man hate spends thousands of dollars on amiibos to spite Nintendo through broken backwards internet logic. So the next logical step is amiibo comes to life and murders owner.
I was thinking someone murders and then, in toy aisle for rare amiibo.
And then it turns out the amiibos are all part of some military project and they're actually built with AI to fight wars. But
don't do small soldiers.
They think that, yeah, no, I'm going to then. Tommy Lee Jones is Link. Anyway, in order to escape the further pull of damaged Florida internet, I guess we could put a cap on this one for now, and then we'll carry on with more what we got next time around. We'll set aside some time for it. We'll break out the Chianti. Order in pizzas. I can't think of anything else we could use. I guess some tubs. No. If it's a bunch of Lego, we get some tubs out to put the Lego in.
Maybe, yeah.
Just dump it all. No bags. Just screw the numbers. Just put it all. Put four modulars worth of sets into a tub. Build it.
No, I'm okay.
Well, thank you guys both for joining me this week. Thank you all listeners out there for listening. That's another WTF and TFW. Punching our way through the internet even when it don't work. We'll be back with some more of this later on. Hey, Toy Fair's coming up, so we're going to have a couple of those podcasts where we scroll through a bunch of pictures and go like, that looks cool, that looks like garbage, that looks cool, and other wonderful things like that. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you in a week!
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.